everyone. Welcome to Real Reiki, Real Life, Real Spirituality. This interactive radio show focuses not only on Reiki, but on all topics of spirituality, as well as self-healing, self-empowerment, through loving and inspiring messages. This show is unique in that you can submit your comments and questions you would like aired and discussed on the show via a recording of your voice by going to www.realreikirealife.com. You can also schedule distant healing sessions with me online by going to that same website, which is www.realreikirealife.com. I am your host, Patricia Keene, ready to love, inspire, and serve you today. All right. Welcome, you guys. Thank you so much for joining us again today for this podcast episode. And we have a very special guest joining us all the way from the UK. Her name is Faye Johnstone, and she is a shamanic herbalist, Usui Reiki master, and the author of Plants That Speak, Souls That Sing, Transform Your Life with the Spirit of Plants. Following a beautiful awakening to the spirit of plants while running a flower farm, Faye's work helps clients discover how to heal with Reiki and plant medicine and connect with nature as a spiritual ally to feel confident and connected on their path. Faye's work combines Reiki healing, shamanic techniques, and the alchemy of nature to help us reawaken our ancient wisdom, restore our sacred relationship with the earth, and reclaim our power to become fully aligned with the truth of who we are. Faye offers training and coaching across the UK, online, and from her home in Scotland. Welcome, Faye. Thank you so much for joining us. We are delighted to have you join us all the way from Scotland. And thank you for being here and sharing your wisdom about Reiki, plant medicine, and how to connect with nature as a spiritual ally.
Oh, hi. I'm delighted to be here too. It's great. And I love to be able to connect people who have, you know, the same spiritual interests. And, you know, to any opportunity I get to be excited about plants and plant medicine, and I just love it. Bring it on. I'm excited to be here.
Oh, good. Oh, we've been looking forward to this for a while. And I have to say, I'm so excited to have you on the show today because I'm also a fellow Mother Nature nerd. That's what I call it. Nature for me is my religion. It's what I resonate with. It's the connection that I have with the divine is through nature. And when you contacted me and we were talking and I checked out your website, I saw how in tune you were with nature as well. And I said, oh yeah, she needs to be on my show. She needs to be on the show. So I'm so excited to have you here and share your wisdom with everybody about your journey so far. And that's how I usually like to start the podcast episodes when I have a guest, is we would love to hear about your story, how you first became aware of plants communicating with you, and just basically your spiritual journey so far. We would love to hear that.
Yeah, you know, when you think, well, where did it all begin? And actually, I'm going to take you back to Paris. Okay. So I want you to all envisage the beautiful city of Paris, you know, the city of love, and it's so beautiful. And I was fortunate enough to be working there when I was in my 20s. And, you know, this is a typical story of, on the outside, everything looked so rosy. I looked like I had it all. You know, I'm living in Paris. I'm working in Paris. I'm getting all these lovely corporate perks and, you know, lots of champagne and all these lovely parties and high heels and matching handbags and this whole thing. And, you know, so I'm ticking a lot of boxes, the things that I thought I should be doing in my 20s. And I realized I just had this kind of crumbling moment, and I realized I was so unhappy. Mm. And, you know, and we've all been there. We've all had that moment where we've gone, you know what? This isn't working. And I'm just kidding. Who am I kidding? Who am I trying to pretend that this, why am I trying to pretend that this is okay? And I think I'm such a slow burner with things. And, you know, and especially when it's all about, you know, your livelihood and your home. If you can't just change it like, you know, in a moment. And what I started doing is I started journaling. I started doing my gratitude journal, and then I would do the morning pages, which I don't know if anyone's ever heard of The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron. Mm-hmm. Well, this book, I just decided, you know what, this is where I'm going to start. And so I took myself off on these little dates to these beautiful French cafes, and I would walk the streets and I would sit and I'd do my morning pages. And this was my way of reconnecting. Mm-hmm. And I started, and it was almost like I was attuned to Reiki, but you know, I was having such a stressful kind of busy work life, and I wasn't really, you know, I wasn't really doing my self practice because that same old story of, well, I'm just too tired, I'm too stressed, you know, and I wasn't even using the tools that I had that would get me back, you know, back to center. So what I started doing is I was journaling, and there was one particular day, and I'd just been kind of in my own space for a while at this cafe, doing my morning pages and my gratitude journal and getting myself back to center. And this shop caught my eye, and this is in the center of Paris. I don't know how I managed to find it, but I went to this shop, and I bought as many plants from this shop as I could carry back to my apartment. And I don't even know what these plants were, because at this time, you see, at this stage in my life, I didn't even know what we had fresh cut flowers delivered to our office every week, and I couldn't even name the flowers. I was so disconnected really with nature and the natural world that I bought these plants, and I looked after them for the rest of my stay in Paris. And it was that moment that I feel that the plants really reached into within me, and they took root there. Because if I took you then back, after about a year, you looked at my life, and I'd moved back to the UK. I was living in a little village, growing my own food and vegetables. I was working for a conservation company. I was studying herbal medicine. So my life had completely, it actually dramatically changed from that. And I just can remember that day in Paris where I picked up all those plants and I took them back to our apartment and I started looking after them. And so from that moment on, I just had this yearning for really reconnecting with nature, returning to the sort of natural cycles and picking up ritual and druidry I was really drawn to. And then, you know, my story really, really kind of got exciting when my partner and I moved to Nova Scotia in 2010, where we started running an organic flower and herb farm. And that was, you know, again, another beautiful opening of wow, you know, and that was when the plants really started talking to me and guiding me and leading me on all sorts of journeys, really, and really inspiring me. And so for me now, like, nature is, it's me, you know, we are nature. And so it's the sort of primary spiritual ally for me, the plants, and then, you know, the seasons and cycles. And because when we were working on the farm, we were so, you're just so connected to nature's kind of wild dance, much more than you are when you're living in a city. So it's so kind of easy to remember that lost language of nature and listen to those green whispers and just discover, you know, I mean, I joke about it, but we were living quite rurally, and I think I spent more time with plants than I did people, really, you know. So you're just so attuned into that flow. And then I started treating, you know, people with Reiki treatments from our farm. And again, you know, that was when the plants were kind of like waving at me out of the corner of my eye, like, hello, we need to be in that treatment too, you know. And that was another journey, because they do, you know, plants choose us. We might think, oh yeah, I want to go and hang out with a tree today or something. Or we think we want something, but that's how we kind of work with plants, is that you keep an eye out for that plant that's waving at you out of the corner of your eye, because it's the one that you least expect is the one that's going to leap forward and be like your ally and want to connect with you.
So true. So true. I know what you're talking about. So you mentioned a couple things I would like to ask you about. You mentioned that you bought those plants in Paris. Was there something that drew you to those plants, or was it a connection that you can't explain to this day? Was there something specific that drew you to those plants?
I think yes, there was, but I couldn't put my finger. I couldn't tell you what it was. It was just that, but they just knew. It was like they knew the healing that I needed. That you see, plants read us way before we even clock them, you know, because our attention is, you know, here, there, and everywhere, isn't it?
Yes.
But plants, this is the great thing about, you know, especially you feel this as well when you hang out with a tree. I mean, all that tree is doing is present, being itself, doing its thing in its sole purpose, aligned with what it's here on earth to do. It doesn't wander off and answer an email or think about what it should have got at the grocery store or, you know, it's 100% being itself. And they really pick up on our electromagnetic field that we produce. And so they clock us, you know, they clock us way before our eyes or our sense of smell perhaps has clocked them. They're really attuned to us. And so, I guess that's why I always sort of say to people, well, that's why they know what medicine we need, because they can read kind of what we're in need of and what medicine we need, much more than we do. And that's why they are such good medicine for us, because they're so aligned with their sole purpose and what their truth is. And we kind of wobble off the path a bit, don't we? We kind of like, oh, I don't know, shall I do this or that or da da da. Whereas, you know, you look at a tree, these an acorn knows that it's going to be an oak tree. It doesn't have this kind of wobble of, I don't know, maybe being a maple could be quite nice. It's in the zone, you know, and that's why I would just encourage people, you know, if you're having a wobble about something, just get out into nature, because these beings are all aligned. They're all on their soul path, you know, they're all on their soul path, they're all aligned with their soul purpose, and we're like, I don't know, shall I do this, I'm not really sure, da, 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 da. And you know, if we just need to hang out in this, and that's why going to, if you've got a woodland near you or a forest or even a, you know, just a beautiful park where that's full of, you know, lovely plants just growing and being themselves, being allowed to express themselves, that in itself is good medicine for us. We don't even need to tune in or be kind of conscious of what they might be doing. That in itself is just great medicine to just help you get back to that center point. And we go really far off center sometimes with ourselves. So the more time we can spend in nature, the easier it is to get back into alignment and remember what it is sort of that we're here to do, what our special magic is.
Mm-hmm. Who we are, remembering who we are. You are so right about that. Wow. Thank you for sharing that, because, I find it beautiful that even back then, before you knew the plants were speaking to you in Paris, they were speaking to you. It's so neat how that works. And you said something that really hit home with me as well, because I always thought that when I'm out in nature that I'm picking the tree to go hug and the tree to go do Reiki to and all these things. But it made complete sense what you just said, how it's actually the opposite. The tree is actually speaking to you and sending that vibration out to you. And that's what's drawing you to the tree. Is that correct? What I heard on that?
That's my experience, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I think this is a really great experiment that everybody can do, is to go to a florist, for example, and with a friend, like, think of buying a friend of yours some flowers. Mm-hmm. It can be, you know, anyone you know. Maybe someone's feeling a bit down, or they're sick and they need a bit of an uplift. Well, go to a florist and think of that person in your mind, and think of, just really put them in your heart. And so you're having that intention, oh, I'm just looking for some flowers to give to my friend to cheer her up, because, you know, she's feeling a bit blue, blah, blah, blah. And then just allow those flowers in the shop, even though I know they're cut flowers, but they still have this life force. Mm-hmm. Or they may be even a potted plant that is kind of speaking to you, and you think, okay. And then give them to your friend and actually be present when your friend is opening, you know, or receiving them, and just notice and observe and tune into your heart there with what happens, because it's just really, it can be a really interesting experience to do that and just tune in and you know, allow the plant medicine to do its magic.
Ooh, I love that. I will have to remember that next time. I kind of already do something similar to that, but you have it on a more deeper level. So I love that, because I think that's something that anybody can do, really. You know, you don't have to be, you don't have to be doing this for so many years and all those things that a lot of people think you have to be doing. You have to be like an herbalist or anything like that. This is something that anybody can do. So that's beautiful. I love that you shared that. And I'm actually excited to kind of tune into that a little bit more the next time I'm in the florist to buy flowers for some friends. So I like that. Thank you.
Definitely. And I think actually, though, you've highlighted something that is really important. And I say this all the time, right, to people. I say, you know what? I'm actually a normal person. I didn't I wasn't at school or college thinking, you know what? When I grow up, I'm going to write a book about plants that speak, and I'm going to have this amazing experience with plants. It seeps into you one day and it helps you remember who you are, you know. We are all nature, you know. We're born of this earth. We're made of the same stuff, you know, that the earth is made of, that the creatures here are made of. So we speak that language. And I find a lot of the time when I'm holding my workshops, or even if I'm doing like an online event, the fact that I'm holding that space and people are in that space, it's like this space of permission. And you see this relief for some participants, because they're like, oh, wow. And it's such an opening. It's like we all step through this portal of allowing ourselves to remember and allowing ourselves to admit and open to all that wisdom, which has always been with us and our ancestors. I mean, obviously our ancestors had a lifestyle that really tied them much more closely to the land than we perhaps have now. And especially in our Western world, we're very urban. You know, most of us live in a city, or a town, and we're much more, we spend so much of our time indoors. But just unlocking that, just stepping into that space of permission of like, you know what, I'm calling to the ancestors to unlock that it's in your DNA. It's in the DNA of our grandmothers and grandfathers, that connection with the land. And we just really want to open it again, because we shut the door. We got overly excited about being indoors and being in front of our screens. We just need to open the door again. Like, we obviously need to open the door to physically get outside, but we need to open those doors within us that we shut and we stopped listening, you know?
Yes, that is so true, and opening those doors. And one of the things that I think helps with that, and you had mentioned earlier, is that you incorporate plants into your Reiki treatments. And I can only imagine how healing that must be, to have plants surrounding you while you are working on somebody. Can you tell us a little bit more about that, how you discovered that plants want to be in the Reiki session with you, and what their role is that they play while you're working on people? I would love to hear that, and I know the listeners would too.
Well, it's really exciting, and this is where you realize, oh my God, actually plants, they're so versatile. You know, it can be as simple as you having a bunch of flowers in your, you know, in a vase in the treatment room, or a pot plant. It can be as simple as having just a plant or some flowers with you that you've specifically chosen, with your clients in mind, or with the fact that, you know, you're creating a healing space. But it sort of discovered me, if you like, when I was running the flower farm. And if a client was coming for a treatment, I found myself sort of having a walk, just having a little walk, thinking about the client before they would come into the space. And there were so many times where I would catch that plant would be sort of waving to me out of the corner of my eye. And I'll give you an example. There was one time, actually, it was a pine tree. So I kind of thought, you know, I think that plant just wants to be in the room. And, you know, you think, how do I get a pine tree in the room? You know, that's not going to happen. But actually, so with the plant's permission, and when I say sort of with the plant's permission, what I mean is kind of tuning in and sort of inviting, saying to the plant, you know, talking to the plant about my client, saying, oh, this client's coming. I get the feeling you want to be part of the treatment. Would it be okay? You know, does that sound okay? Am I right? Can I take a piece of you? So I think in this particular instance, I ended up cutting a bit of the branch off. So I had some pine needles and it was a bit sticky and that essence of pine. And I didn't really know what to do at that stage. So I remember just taking it with me and putting it in some water just to keep it fresh in the room. And then the client came and we were doing the treatment, and then during the treatment it just kept calling to me, this pine, and I started to lay bits of the pine, the branch, and the pine needles on top of the client. And then I remember finishing the treatment by really sort of breaking up these pine needles. And it was like I was kind of showering her in the pine needles. And so you can imagine the fragrance was really, really powerful.
Oh, yeah.
And because the aromatics, you know, some of these plants, the aromatics just, it really stimulates. It stimulates our memories. It stimulates, it's get like lots of physical sensations start sort of, it sort of triggers lots of that. And so memories start to shift. And this particular lady was suffering from grief, actually. And so we kind of had that feedback session that you have at the end of a Reiki treatment. And it turned out, you know, it turned out that obviously the experience with the pine during the treatment was kind of the highlight of the treatment. And she looked really invigorated after the treatment. And then she went on to tell me a story of a pine that she had in her garden. That actually she's like, well, it's really funny because, you know, and this is how people, it always ends up, people sort of say, well, you know, it's kind of weird that you use the pine because actually, this week in my garden or this week on my walk, I met a pine tree. And so she had a story about the pine. And so my guidance for her was, you know what? I think you need to go and sit with your pine tree.
Oh, yes.
You know, take it to kind of try and incorporate that somehow. And so she did. It was like a real learning. It was a real learning for her. It was an opening. And it was clear for me that that pine tree had been trying to get her attention. For whatever reason, again, you know, kind of for those same reasons that those plants in Paris picked me, because the pine could see there was something going on that was going to need to be balancing, was going to be of benefit to the client. And so actually when I was on the farm, taking my walk before the client came, the pine was like, oh, I'm seizing my moment. I'm going in there. And it was a lovely transformational experience. And this is where plants are so versatile for us with Reiki, because it can actually be as simple as sitting down, having a herbal tea with your client before you even start the treatment. And that's when we're inviting in the spirit of the plant. So we know, you know, you might have already, so say you're seeing a client and before you've got the impression that they're coming to you because they've said, you know what, I'm just really stressed, you know, and I've heard Reiki's really relaxing and I'd just like to come for a treatment. Mm-hmm. So in that instance, you kind of know already, you know, a tea like chamomile is an amazingly relaxing. I mean, actually in the instance of chamomile, some people do have an allergy, so you have to check that one before. But this is just an example of, you know, you could make a lovely chamomile tea, and while you're making the tea, you can send Reiki while you're making the tea. You can invite in the spirit of chamomile for the client's highest good. And so that chamomile tea is going to sit on the side while the client's filling out their form, while they're talking to you. And even if that client never even sips the tea because they go, oh, that smells horrible, I don't want it. Or, oh, I don't like chamomile. Or, oh, I don't really drink herbal teas. Or whatever resistance comes up, the smell of that aromatic is still going to be permeating the room where you are. And the spirit of that plant is going to be there. And so this is why they're such powerful allies for us, because these days there's so many ways that we can use plants. We can have them physically in the room. We've got teas. We've got aromatic, the essential oils. We've got beautiful, so many flower essences these days are around, available for us, you know, so we don't even need to go into the realm of plant medicine and herbal tinctures and things which are used medicinally. We can just use plants really, really creatively. And I certainly find that aromatic, the smell of so many of our garden plants, really, especially like the culinary herbs, which many of us might grow. You can grow them in pots, or you can have, if you've got a garden space, you might have some growing in your garden. Mm-hmm. And flowers. I just find that the flowers are so uplifting and joyful that just bringing flowers into the room can be a really positive experience. And I often use, I make flower essences. And yeah, I think, well, they're a lovely thing to make. And obviously you can charge it all up, the whole process up with Reiki while you're making a flower essence. But, and then I make them into room sprays so that you can kind of spritz a room before somebody gets in the room, and the presence of that plant's going to be there with you in the Reiki treatment. And you can also, sometimes I might have a vase of flowers, or I might have been around the garden and I might have picked some foliage or some flowers or anything that kind of I felt wanted to be picked and come with me. And then I'll have a vase of flowers or leaves or twigs or whatever it is that's there in season. And you can ask the client when they come into the room, you know, what do they feel drawn to? And you'll be so surprised, because clients... plants are just so incredible. They seem to be able to bridge bridge a gap to healing. And you'll find that a client might go, okay, this is a pretty flower. I'd like that one. I think I'll just hold that in my hand. And just things like this. I allow the plants to lead and just really invite a client. And sometimes they might think, you know what? I feel like I want to place that on my solar plexus. You're like, okay, should we do that? And then we'll start the Reiki treatment. So there's all sorts of ways that you can get creative with plants and bring them into treatments. And so, you know, you don't have to go into the realm of herbal medicine, and you can just stay in the realm of just using plants as beautiful objects or inspirational scented aromas for clients to enjoy.
That is beautiful. I love that, because as you were talking about that, what came to my mind was a lot of people are more familiar with crystals and the healing energies of crystals. And most people who choose the crystals to work with, especially in Reiki treatments, kind of follow the same process. They tune into the crystal and find out which one wants to be part of the treatment. And I love that you mentioned that is the same process that you pretty much follow when choosing plants in the Reiki room, because it's very much the same thing that most people can relate to. They can think in their mind, oh, I already do that with crystals. Well, this should be pretty easy to transfer that knowledge with plants. So it's something that most people are probably already doing, at least with the crystals, and they can use that same wisdom and knowledge that they've gained in tuning into crystals and tuning into the energy of the plants to find out which ones want to be a part of the healing session. So I loved that you mentioned that, because, you know, normally I would have just thought something like, oh, well, I'm just going to go over and pick a couple of plants out that look nice and put them in the room. But I loved what you said, because tuning into the plant's energy and even asking permission, if you were going to bring a portion of that plant indoors with you and leave the rest of it outside, I loved what you said about asking permission, because there is a huge difference in the vibration of the plant when you ask, the branch that you pick, or the leaf or the flower, whatever it is that you're taking from the plant, there's a huge difference in the energy and the vibration of that plant when you ask it permission. So I love that you said that too, because there, you know, before I learned all these things, I would just indiscriminately pick pine needles when I was out in nature. And now I notice a huge difference when I actually ask permission, and if the plant tells me yes, then I pick it. So I love that you said that. And would you have any advice for the listeners on trusting what they're hearing from the plant? Because I think sometimes people tend to get in their head a little bit and second guess maybe what the plant is saying. And I know certainly that can happen, you know, like for instance, when you're doing distant Reiki, a lot of times if I don't have the person's permission to send Reiki, I connect to their higher self and ask their higher self if it's okay. And would you say that's kind of the same thing that people could follow in asking a plant?
Yeah, I think so. I think what happens is we get into that headspace of, oh, I can't do this. Oh, this is silly, actually, especially sometimes with plants. We feel that it's very common to feel really like this is really silly. Particularly because I always suggest that people talk to a plant out loud, and that kind of, you know, there's a lot of people who's like, oh no, this is just feeling silly. And so that automatically starts to feel tight, doesn't it? And constrictive. And when we're in this space, it's really hard to have that flow going. My advice is you trust your first thought, trust the first feeling that comes to you. And always, so the language, this is why actually Reiki and plant medicine go so well together, because for me, Reiki is very much a pathway of my heart. Reiki, it's a pathway of love. And Reiki for me has always been about basically following the path of my heart and expanding more compassion, more love, etc. And so when I'm in this heart space of real openness and love, this is the language of plants. You know, for plants, this is the space that they communicate in from the heart. You know, they're reading the intentions from your heart. They're not reading the words or listening to the words that come out of your mouth. They're in that vibration of your heart. And always, 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 the great thing for us, the thing that you were sort of touching on there is this whole, it's really about this sacred relationship that we have with the natural world, is that we've kind of gone a bit wonky, haven't we? And we bulldoze the natural world, which is our home. We chop down rainforests and ancient woodland, which is, you know, giving us these amazing habitats for us to thrive in. And so we think we dominate the world here. And we've got to get back more into alignment. We really have to start feeling our way with our hearts and getting back to that right relationship. Because once we're in this right relationship with plants, we can start to make friends. You know, like you think about when you're at school and you're trying to make friends with people. No one wants to be your friend if you're kind of real, you know, egocentric, who thinks they're amazing and they know it all and they're so much better than you are. And that's kind of how we mostly approach plants. So we've really got to get into that space of, you know, mending this sacred relationship, mending and being in that space of right relationship. And lots of people would leave an offering in nature. But the great thing for us as Reiki practitioners is that our offering can be Reiki.
Yes.
And so this is where you have such a balance. So you can tune into a plant and you can either beam Reiki to it, or you can reach out and touch the plant if that feels like the right thing to do. And so we can sit in that wonderful Reiki space with a plant. And I think that for me is that because we're in the heart, then we're in this beautiful space, you know, that space that we go to when we're sending Reiki. And in that space is this, that's when we're beautifully open to this plant communication, the language of nature. And I think that if we're in this space, it's much, much easier to trust the insight and the guidance and the words or wisdom that might come than it might be if we're trying to do it really quickly. You know, we've all been in that situation where you're kind of trying to do something really quickly and you kind of want to rush it. And that's when we're in that's when we're in the headspace. And that's when the ego is going to kind of perhaps, you know, shift us into an action which isn't quite aligned with the resonance of the sort of true vibration of our truth. Yeah, so it's all about feeling our way with the heart space. And then once you're in that space, it's much easier to trust your first reactions to a plant, and those hunches, and trusting where you kind of, and also knowing where you receive your most trusted information. You know, some people are very visual. Some people have the knowing, that sort of clairaudience. And then there's some people who just will really hear voices or have a different sensation. You know, it's the same when we're sort of receiving and sending Reiki. We might, you know, have those physical sensations in our bodies as well, that the heat and the tinglings. And it's all things like that are that those subtle sort of ways that plants communicate. And I think we can be in such a rush sometimes because humans are, you know, think about the speed that we go at as opposed to the speed of a plant. There's just, you know, light years of difference. If we go too fast, we're going to miss the subtle messages. And because the plant world is quite subtle. I mean, it's not always subtle, but it is often really subtle. And I think actually we can sometimes mistrust that because and this is a mistake a lot of us make on our spiritual path, isn't it? We expect the thunderbolt coming down and hitting us on the head with the aha.
Yes.
Da-da, I've got it. And actually, you know, my experience is it's all this subtle unwinding and learning and growing and opening that suddenly one day you realize, wow, I'm in a kind of completely different space than I was a year ago. And that's how we kind of, that's how I navigate my way. And I think that's how we navigate our way with plants as well. It's not necessarily going to be the thunderbolt, but we sometimes get the thunderbolt. We sometimes get the big download that leaves us kind of like a rabbit in the headlights for 2 weeks. Like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. You know, that sometimes happens.
It's so true. It's not the norm, definitely, but when it does happen, oy, yeah. It can be a very wonderful experience when that happens, but you're right. Mostly spirit talks to us in subtle energy. It's not something that's really in your face that way. You're right. Very right about that.
Yeah. I do. I mean, I've got there are some crazy stories and it still happens to me now, but when we were running the farm, I guess I was kind of, you know, plants 24/7, you know, always outside and everything. And sometimes I would be waken up in the middle of the night with a sort of appearance in my room of a plant. And when I say an appearance, I mean, actually I would just sense the vibration of a plant. I'd be woken up and I'd be like, oh, okay. There's something in my room. What is it? And it would be like, oh, it's a raspberry. You know, it was just very
random. Oh, I love that. Oh, you're like a plant medium.
On occasion, yes.
I love that. Oh, that's awesome because you don't hear that very often. You know, of course you have, you know, basic mediumship or mediumship from, you know, different energies and things like that. But most people probably haven't thought about plant mediumship.
Yeah.
I love that. That's awesome.
I hope you get some people phone into the show saying, yes, that happens to me too. So it doesn't make me feel so weird. But
oh, I think most of us drawn to this type of work love nature. So you probably will have a few people saying, yes, I know exactly what she's talking about.
Yeah.
Yes.
But it is like what you were saying earlier, and you summed it up very well. I suppose to sum up, I suppose, yes, I work with Reiki and plants in the same way that people use crystals and plants. You know, it's crystals and Reiki. It's exactly that way. And then when you think about it, you're like, well, of course, you know, of course we can do that. So that's where it gets really interesting. And I think it's a case of just following, opening to what you're drawn to working with and then, you know, experimenting and growing. And I think that's what I like about the way that Reiki is at the moment. It seems to be really opening. There's, you know, opening for people to be perhaps a bit more creative with the way that Reiki is flowing than perhaps we were before for a while. Like, you know, what I learned 20 years ago, I think my practice has really changed since then, as I've kind of got more confident on my path and started following my intuition, really.
Mm-hmm. As you've evolved as well, you know, definitely mm-hmm. your interests and things that resonate with you change as well. And there's a little story that I'd like to share with you and the listeners too, just to kind of back up what you've been talking about as far as plants and Reiki, because I teach a lot of students, and I don't know if this is your experience too, who have no idea that you can even do Reiki on plants. They just think it's a hands-on healing for humans.
Mm.
And yes, I find that a lot. And the other day I was at the grocery store and I was looking to buy some herbs that are potted in a plant. And the only basil plants that they had left were very sad looking. They were wilted. They just were not happy. And most people would have just passed them up and said, you know, I'm not buying that. It's going to die within a day and I'm going to waste my money on this plant. But I wanted to do an experiment because I had do Reiki on plants, but I have never done an experiment like this before where the plant really was halfway dead. I brought it home. Ooh. I picked up the basil plant. I asked which one wanted to come home with me and I took it home and I watered it, put it in a sunny windowsill and did Reiki a couple of times a day. And I'd also just talk to it because plants are so responsive, as you know, to the energy and the vibration that we're sending to them. You kind of mentioned that earlier. And so I would just talk to it and tell it how beautiful it was and how lovely it smelled. And, you know, it goes back to what Dr. Emoto was saying with the experiments that he used to run with water, how water was responding to, and you can actually program water with your intentions and things like that. The same thing kind of applies with plants. They will respond to the energy you send their way. If you're going to be sending toxic, lower vibrational energy their way, you're going to kill that plant. And if you're sending nothing but love and talking to the plant in a way that nurtures and encourages it to grow. So what ended up happening was within a week, that plant did a complete turnaround. I mean, just now it's just full and alive and bushy and it smells amazing. So this stuff does work. This stuff does work. So for all the listeners out there, try an experiment like that. Try to find a potted plant that maybe could use a little extra love and use your Reiki healing skills and see what happens.
Ah, you know, that's such a lovely story to share because you're so right. They respond to our vibration and our, you know, our appreciation. That's kind of the key. And, you know, it's one of the Reiki precepts. You know, it's this gratitude to all, you know, every living thing. And that's such a key to working with plants. And kind of what we're trying to do is we're trying to bridge this divide that has been going on for years, you know, with us and them, you know, pushing that the green world away, pushing the sort of wildness of nature away. And by just honoring, like, you know, and a great thing to do is, I know lots of people will say, oh, well, I don't have a garden, I live in a city, I can't really do that, I haven't got time to look after a plant, you know, all of that. So at the very least, what somebody can do, I guarantee on the way to work, after you've got off the subway or the bus or out of your car, there will be a tree that you pass or a plant that you see. And at the very least, you can say to that plant, wow, you look amazing.
Aww.
You know, I love the way your branches look, or, you know, you can be really, and I do things like, maybe even in the mud, draw a heart, you know, in the mud, or put some stones out in a heart shape. And you're just really kind of affirming to nature, you know, I love you. You're amazing. And it's kind of like the same, attitude of gratitude, you know, like saying thank you to the sun in the morning. And you know, we look at the moon, don't we? And we go and go, oh wow, the moon's amazing. And it's kind of like, thanking all that, because there's spirit in everything. Yes. And this is really, and once we start this kind of daily reverence with the natural world, this is when I started to feel so supported by the natural world around me and really held, you know, so that if I have a problem now, I'll go and sit under a favorite tree and I'll talk to that tree and I'll just, you know, I'll be held and heard and where I feel witnessed, because I'm holding nature in my heart wherever I go. And it's hard sometimes, isn't it, when you're being battered by the wind and the rain, because we're struggling. We're like, I don't want that. I want nice sunshine and I want warmth. But just to be thanking it and realizing that we're all part of the same thing and we're all connected. And so it's that attitude of reverence and honoring and gratitude that really creates these links with the natural world. And yeah, you've done it so beautifully with that plant. And we can all do it with something that we see in the natural world. I mean, some people might live by a lovely river or the ocean, and you can, you know, say your prayers and give your honoring to the ocean. You know, it's the same thing of really recognizing the spirit is in everything. And once we kind of realize that and we can really start to feel the web that connects us all, and there's so much power in that when we're kind of working all together and we realize that actually our actions are really important because they're affecting the whole of this amazing web that we're all held in.
Yes, you were definitely reading my mind because I was thinking that how when we become unified with nature and in harmony with nature, it's not just the plants and the animals that get that benefit. That transfers into everything that we do in our life, the interactions that we have with people. If we can bring that peace, that resonance, that love into our heart from the natural world, that naturally just comes out in your relationships, in the people that you see every day, the strangers that you meet on the street, you know, all these things. So it encompasses everything. It doesn't just encompass the plants. It doesn't just encompass, you know, like some people would think. They would think it's limited and put it in a box, and it's not like that at all. Nature is not like that at all. So I love that you said that, because it really does benefit everyone as a whole, the planet as a whole, all living things on this planet, it benefits.
Yeah, absolutely. And mm-hmm. I think as well, what happens is, what I love to do is I love to encourage people to even, so we're sort of doing the honoring, we're kind of got the gratitude for nature, but also to send Reiki. We always think about, when we think, I think we have the, I think we sometimes make the mistake of especially with Reiki, we think, oh, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to send Reiki to that area in the world that really needs healing. I'm going to send Reiki to this earthquake, this disaster that's just happened somewhere, you know, and that's obviously really important. But for me, the plants and the natural green spaces that are in my local vicinity, they are super important, because everything that is around me in my local vicinity is like a little signpost for my health and well-being. And so I really like to encourage people to be sending Reiki to those local green spaces and neighborhoods that really need those good vibrations. Because when we do this, we really help raise the resonance of the kind of entire area. That's what I wanted to say, really, about just really honoring the local plants and green spaces where you are. I think when I was younger, I got really kind of, I got the travel bug, you know, and I got lured away to all these far and wide exotic landscapes, because I kind of thought that those landscapes were more beautiful than actually what was close to home. Mm-hmm. And what happens when we start with plants sometimes is we can get excited by the kind of exotic plants of overseas or the big teacher plants that you can connect with in the Amazon. But actually the real power for plants is, and sacred spaces too, are those spaces which are kind of on your doorstep. It's the plant that you see every day on your way to work, or the the tree that you've got at the bottom of the garden or the basil plant that you find in the grocery store that just needs some love. Mm-hmm. These plants that we have grown, you know, kind of they're growing in soil where we are nourished from, you know, they're kind of being rained on by the same water that rains on us. They're already in our vibration. So they have a really powerful healing ability for us than, for example, a plant that I might, you know, buy online that comes from China or, you know, I'm just, you know, giving it a silly example, but I think so. Yeah. So I just love to encourage people to really pay attention to what's beautiful close to home. Because that's where the special power is for you, because you're already attuned to that frequency and there's always something really special. And I think and this will probably happen to people who are listening to this podcast. So they'll go in and they'll kind of let it all settle in and they'll have it in their heart, you know, oh wow, yeah, plants. Oh, that's interesting. Could work with some plants. And I guarantee there will be plants waving to them out of the corner of their eyes, because it's kind of like a little button that you turn on, this kind of radar. And as soon as you have it in your intention that you want to start connecting with plants, they're like, hello, come to me. So it's really exciting. And again, it just really comes from the heart rather than the head, you know, rather than that logical, kind of thought process. Like, oh, I should get some of this because I've heard it's really good for depression, or I've heard it's really good to help me relax. You know, it's much more fun to just kind of allow yourself to be led and for a plant to discover you. And then you can research, you know, oh, actually, I wonder what this plant is traditionally used for. Or I wonder if this plant shows up in any folk stories, because it feels to me that this is quite a powerful tree or whatever. But yeah, always it's much easier to kind of approach plants with that fresh mind or fresh eyes if you don't know anything about it. It's often harder if you've kind of got the herbal medicine training or you know lots about plants, because it's very hard to just have that kind of fresh perspective and curiosity, because you can dismiss things so easily. If you think you know something, you can easily dismiss it, and it's actually could be the thing that's really waiting for you.
That makes sense. I love that you said that, because what was coming to my mind is, you know, those of us who maybe do psychic readings and things like that, before we do a reading, we don't really want to know a lot about the person, because that interferes with the reading. You think, oh, I'm only telling them this because they told me this. So I can imagine how that must be when you know a lot about a plant. And it's harder for you to kind of tune into the energy of the plant and ask for sure, because you know too much already about that plant. So it's hard to know for sure what is in my scientific mind versus what is going on in my heart space from this plant. So that made sense to me. And that at least connected to my brain in that way is, you know, sometimes the more you know about a plant, it can be great in many ways, but also it can probably be a little harder, like you mentioned, to step out of your mind and into your heart space rather. Do you know what I'm saying on that?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think what happens is this happens a lot of the time when people sort of have that thing like, oh yeah, I'm going to find a plant to work with. And you know, especially like we can carry these prejudices about plants. Like mm-hmm. you might find that like the dandelion is really like, hello, hello, hello. And you know, we can be like, no, I just want to work with like a rose or a handsome oak tree. Actually, you know, we can have these, it's kind of weird, but we can carry these prejudgments about plants because they seem kind of small, or they, you know, you're not really attracted to it, or it's things like that. But actually that's a brilliant reflector, you know, a mirror for us to kind of look at and go, ooh, okay, that's really interesting. So the key with all of this is that curiosity is like noticing the kind of little drama that the plant might be playing out for you, might be demonstrating how you do maybe need to slow down and feel with your heart a bit more and not think so much with your head, or need to kind of look for the small things rather than the big impressive things. You know, yes. There's all these, nature is a real mirror for us, actually.
Oh, I love that. I never had thought of it in that way, because I have to admit, I would do that sometimes where I have a beautiful oak tree in mind, or pine trees are my absolute favorite. We happen to live in a very beautiful area where we have world-class mountains and snow and all that stuff here. So the pine trees, aspen trees, all those are abundant here where I live. And for me, I resonate highly with pine trees. And sometimes I get stuck in my little box and I maybe might be ignoring those dandelions along the way. And that was a beautiful thing you said, because really, what is that dandelion going to teach us that we're just dismissing easily? We're actually doing a disservice to ourselves if we have these blinders on all the time of what plant that we want to work with versus the ones that want to work with us.
Yeah, so we do. I think we all do it. I think we all do that, and we all, yeah, it's just there to teach. It's just another little signpost to just help us to kind of go, that's interesting that I'm doing that again. Why am I doing that? You know, just looking at our, it's all kind of, one of my teachers used to say, oh, just approach it all with childlike curiosity. You know, you're just looking, observing, laughing at things. And it can be really fun, actually, to hang out with kids. And, especially if you're out in nature, and just ask a kid to take you to their favorite place, because children will always, they don't kind of, well, they haven't got all the drama and the stories that we carry. And so they are really able to kind of get into these very curious, interesting places that I guarantee you perhaps wouldn't go as an adult, really. You would have a kind of a different notion about that place. But so children can be really fun to hang out with for finding a favorite plant or, a favorite place in nature, and they will show you some, they will reveal some amazing places to you if you get the opportunity to do that.
That is true. Children have that innocence that, unfortunately, when we get to adulthood, we tend to shut off. So that is beautiful, because they're definitely more in tune sometimes than we adults are, because we've got so many things and going on in our lives, and children are just more in the moment for the most part. So they're able to tune into that a lot easier. So I can see what you're saying. When you're with children, they will naturally be drawn to those things that we might miss because we're too stuck in our busy lives and not paying attention.
Yeah, and I used to find it always used to happen when we were selling the flowers on our market stand. We would have these bouquets made up, and I'd see it every week. Children were great. They would just come along and they'd be like, Mom, we need to get some flowers, you know. And they would come along, and the child knew instantly which one they wanted. Like, they would like, you know, and you know what children like. They would just grab it and take it out of its water and be holding it. And then the mom comes along going, oh, okay, just wait a sec, whoa. And it was always interesting. I remember once a mom kind of looking at that, and she clearly didn't really like the one that her child had brought out. And she, you know, and they'd have the questions with the child. So, don't you want this one? And it would be like the same price, but look much more fuller, or, you know, different colored. And you could see the adult mind going, actually, that's not really going to go with the decor, or this one's bigger and it's the same price. And, you know, but the child would always be like, no, I want this one.
<It's so cute. laughs> They know. Yeah, and nothing will. Yep. You are so right about that. They definitely are. They can be stubborn in a good way about that. So yes, they definitely know.
Yeah, it was very cute. Yeah, it was really cute. And so that was just like, just different, just the way that different people respond as well to different plants. That's just fascinating. So yeah, if you get some plants and some flowers with your clients in your treatment room, you can start to kind of get the vibe of what happens.
Yeah, and get the vibe of what happens, but just watch how your world shifts. Those who out there who haven't maybe been working with plants as much, would you say, and at least this has been my experience, try doing some little experiments on the side and see how your world starts to shift when you're connected with nature more.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Just inviting the green world in, and even in prayer, you know, just when you're in invocations and opening up your space to start a treatment, you inviting in, you know, if you invite in angel helpers or spirit guides or animal allies, mm-hmm. you can invite in plant helpers too. And I think there are many people who might you know, burn incense or use essential oils or even, you know, smudge sticks, things like that. And so if you're, you know, that you're invoking the plants when you have these oils burning or incense going. So just kind of honoring that, you know, and we're inviting in the spirit of those plants when we use these tools as well. This is the great thing about, I always kind of compare plants to angels, because a lot of people have work with angels.
Yeah.
I feel like you can work with plants in the same way that you can work with angels. So you can invoke them. You can ask that the spirit of that plant be with you and bless your treatment. And for the highest good, you can ask that the plant show you things, and you can ask for yourself, you know, to be guided by a plant. But the great thing is about plants is because they are physically on this plane with us, we get to hang out with them, we get to physically touch them, we get to make infusions with them, we get to bathe with them if we want to, you know, bathe in rose petals, for example. We get to make products from them, use them in our diet. So plants are this amazingly flexible ally for us. And also they get to be a spiritual ally for us too. You know, they get to be a really great friend for our well-being and for our kind of spiritual guidance, if that's how we want to work with them. You know, or we can just, you know, enjoy honoring them and having them as flowers in our garden. You know, they're really versatile, and I think that's what makes them so appealing, and which it kind of, it means, you know, anyone can work with plants. You know, like you were saying earlier, you don't have to be a plant person, you don't have to be a herbalist, you don't have to know anything about plants. But one thing you do have to do is drop the mindset of, oh, I don't know anything about plants, or, oh, I'm no good with plants. You know, I hear that a lot, when, especially when people know that I'm a real, you know, tree hugger, plant person. And I think, well, I don't know anything about plants either. I really don't. We're just learning about them. It's just that openness and that willingness to play, I think. Respectfully, obviously.
Yes, yes. And I think that is universal wisdom that you just said. It's beautiful, because that applies to everything in life, really. I mean, and I think a lot of us are probably already doing that in different areas of our life. And how you can connect that to the plant world is through what you just said, is approach it respectfully, approach it with a childlike wonder.
Mm-hmm.
And that wisdom will take you very far in every area of your life. So that was beautiful. I love that you said that. And I can't wait to try that in my Reiki sessions. I've never thought of invoking the spirit of plant energy. I mean, I do use essential oils and mm-hmm. herbs and things like that, but I've never actually called upon the healing energies of plants in a formal invocation. So I'm going to definitely try that and see how that goes. I'm excited to do that. That really resonated with me, and I'm sure it's resonating with a lot of our listeners too. So thank you for sharing that. You know, this is why I love having guests on the show, because I know I can only present things from my perspective and all the experiences and things that I have learned in my own life, but my path isn't the same as yours, Faye, and your path, Faye, isn't the same as somebody else's. And so it is wonderful to have all of us collectively get together and share the wisdom that we have gained in this life of ours. Because there are so many things that I would not have learned had you not talked about it today. And I know a lot of our listeners can say the same thing. So it's a beautiful thing when we can all share the wisdom that we've learned to help each other out in this work. So I want to thank you for that. That was beautiful. And I just can't believe that our time is already up. Yes, it's been quite a wonderful experience chatting with you and learning more about this. I just wish that there's so many more things I would love to talk about. But before we go, I would like to ask you, what kind of services are you offering? Are you offering any kind of retreats or, you know, how can people contact you if they're interested in the services you offer? You know, let us all know what it is that you're currently working on.
So I'm sure you're going to display my website, but it's fayjohnston.com. And actually on the website is a free audio chapter of my book, which is Plants That Speak, Souls That Sing. And you can buy that book on all the usual places that you buy books. But I do have an online program, which is it's basically a very practical, it's based on the book, but it's a very practical online program of kind of getting really involved with plants. And that starts again, I'm doing that again in March. So in a few weeks time, we're going to be promoting that. We're going to get Plants That Speak online going again for everybody. But I do, in the meantime, I do shamanic coaching and mentoring to really help people. My kind of specialty is really helping people who are really stuck, who are stuck in that place of, I don't know, I'm not sure, I don't know, I know something's going to change, but I just don't know what. So that's my speciality in terms of my shamanic coaching and mentoring, is really guiding people along the path of helping you connect to nature as a spiritual ally. And but my kind of current mini private project, which I will share with you because I know you're a Reiki audience, is I'm writing my second book, which is really about Reiki your nature, which is really about what we've discussed today, which is about Reiki and plants and working with shamanic Reiki techniques as well. Ooh. So that's my mini project, which is happening. And I run a retreat every year in Scotland, which is a beautiful 4-day retreat to connect with nature and work deeply with nature as a spiritual ally to bring about that healing that we need to shine brighter and to come more in. I mean, all of my work's about really helping you come into that alignment with who you really are and shine. And so I do that through the alignment, you know, with working with nature. So yeah, fayjohnston.com. And actually, if there are people listening who feel that they're plant people and they just don't know how to express that, I do have a Facebook group, which is called Plant Spirit People. And you're very welcome to join the group because it's a very safe online space for people who hug trees and who are very open about, oh my goodness, I spoke to a tree and it said this, you know, that's kind of all shared in there. And that's, so if you need a space to the permission to connect with plants, then you can join us there.
Ooh, excuse me. I will definitely be joining that group. They sound like my kind of people.
Yeah.
I love it. Plant Spirit People. That's the name of the Facebook group.
Yes.
Awesome. Okay. And also, I will also have your contact information in the show notes so that if anybody could not remember the web address or anything like that, I will put that as well as the Facebook group in the show notes. So be sure to check that out if you needed that information again. And before you go, Faye, was there anything else that you would like to say?
I just want to say thank you to you for having this chat, because this is just, you know, I really want to encourage everyone to listen to the Green Whispers and get out there and, you know, let nature in, let the green world in, because once it just needs a little bit of willingness, and then it's so much fun, you know. So it's all about opening. And so, I just love to hear everybody's stories. It's very normal for me to be emailed pictures of plants, and especially in the group, you know, sharing plant stories. I think it's really, really important that we do share these stories with each other, because when you start sharing those stories, it is amazing how people respond. And that the more that we do this, the more we're going to shift that vibration, and we're going to be able to change the relationship that we have with Mother Earth and get into whole different levels of healing and support and nourishment for us all. So to kind of get out there, that's the last thing I wanted to say. Connect.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for being on the show. It was a pleasure having you here. And I know our listeners are probably so excited to get started on some of the suggestions that you had and the wisdom that you shared. And, you know, I consider myself a nature nerd and lover and all those things, but there were so many things that you mentioned on the show today as well that just highly resonated with me that I didn't even think of. So I'm so grateful for that wisdom that you imparted to everybody. So, all right then. Well, thank you everybody for joining us today. And as always, I am Patricia Keene, reminding you to always journey in light and serve with love. Namaste.
To interact with us on our show, you can submit any listener questions via email or your recorded voice by going to our website at www.realreikirealife.com and using our interactive recorder to record your question or comments there. Your voice question or email may be featured, answered, and aired on an upcoming episode for a truly interactive experience. We also offer free recorded meditations as well as other free stuff. You can also schedule distant healing sessions with me on our website to help facilitate your healing journey. Until next time, I am your host, Patricia Keene, reminding you to always journey in light and serve with love.